Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. I don't have a whole lot of announcements this morning other than to say I appreciate everybody's understanding as I was sick. Last week, it ended up not being just a cold, it ended up being an ear infection, a sinus infection, and a fever. So I felt pretty miserable for a few days. I am glad to be feeling much better today, other than a bit of a residual cough. So that's kind of what's going on here. But I am really grateful for this church for continuing to take care of things. If you are new to us, if you need to update your information, you can scan that QR code up on the screen there, and we will be in touch. I know Laura has a mission moment, and we'll get to that in a minute. Do we have any other announcements? Seeing none, Laura Hoekstra is going to give us a mission moment this morning.
Good morning. My name is Laura Hoekstra, and I am the executive director of the nonprofit Beautiful Response. And I have been blessed to have Beautiful Response selected as UCC's third quarter mission project. Beautiful Response exists because of a decision to respond. While studying abroad in Uganda, our co-founders Caleb and Sonia Scott had the privilege of meeting two extraordinary young Ugandan leaders and the 43 children that they were caring for, all of whom had been rescued from the slums of Kampala. As Caleb and Sonia spent time getting to know Patrick, William, and the children, they discovered how badly these kids wanted to learn, but with barely enough money for food, attending school wasn't an option. Caleb and Sonia began to wonder what it might look like to partner with Raising Up Hope for Uganda, or RUHU for short. And while they could come up with many reasons why not to help, they chose to respond. For more than 15 years, Beautiful Response has partnered with RUHU, coming alongside them with the financial and technical support they need to carry out the vision that God placed on their hearts. Through this long-term partnership, RUHU's programs have continued to grow, strengthen, and create lasting change in their community. What began as 43 children rescued from the slums, living in one small house, struggling to have enough food, and with no possibility of going to school, has grown into a network of programs that now provides care and support to more than 800 orphaned and vulnerable individuals each month. Today, RUHU includes a new boys' home, a girls' home, House of Hope, which is a home for pregnant mothers and their children, a primary school educating nearly 250 children each year, a secondary school educating nearly 200 students each year, a vocational training institute, which is in the early stages of construction, a 10-acre farm that helps provide food sustainability for RUHU schools and homes, three churches, two medical clinics serving the children in RUHU's homes and schools, as well as people in the surrounding communities who cannot afford medical care, a medical outreach program which sees and treats 150 to 180 patients each month in rural communities where there is little to no access to medical care. And the program that started it all, RUHU's Slum Outreach, which now includes a women's empowerment and skills training program that trains and equips approximately 100 women and girls each year. And the original Boys Slum Outreach program, where each week 55 to 75 boys receive food, mentorship, and skills training. The missions committee originally selected Beautiful Response as their third quarter mission project because I was planning to visit RUHU in September. Unfortunately, because of the Ebola outbreak, that trip has been postponed. This year would have been my sixth trip to Uganda, my first in 2015 and my most recent in 2025. I have been a part of the beautiful response Ruhu's story from the beginning, first serving as a board member from 2010 until 2017. In 2017, I became Ruhu's program director, and in 2022, I took on my current role as executive director. Our family has also sponsored two children at Ruhu since 2010, the same genders and ages as our own kids. One of the greatest joys of my trips is seeing them and being able to spend time with them. As part of my trips, I also fundraise to provide much-needed essentials for Ruhu homes, things like bunk beds, mattresses, bedding, and mosquito nets, as well as yearly needs such as fire extinguishers, solar lights, and kitchenware. These items are purchased and delivered when I am in Uganda. This is such a joyous time and one of the best parts of my trips. There is something incredibly special about seeing the kids' excitement and gratitude. Here's a very short clip from the celebration during my 2024 trip. Although my trip this year has been postponed, I still plan to fundraise for these needs with the goal of providing them on my next trip, which I hope will be in January of 2027. My fundraising goal is $15,500. If you feel led to contribute to these needs, donations can be placed in the offering plate using the Q3 mission envelopes available on the back table. You can also talk with me if you would like to donate directly to Beautiful Response, as we are also a 501c3 nonprofit. During this quarter, I plan to share additional mission moments with you, including more stories and pictures from my trips to Ruhu. Thank you for allowing me to share with you the incredible work happening in Uganda and for your potential partnership and support. And because my speech was a little long, instead of showing it now, during the offertory, you will be watching a video I wanted to share with you, and it was created by our co-founders, Caleb and Sonia, for the very first church to partner with us, and this church still supports our work today. The video is about a year old, but it just speaks so well to the heart and the history of our ministry, so I hope you enjoy watching it. Thank you.
Well, we will look forward to watching that video during our offertory today, and we'll look forward to the ways that the ministry of Beautiful Response continues to blossom, and we're happy to support one of our own church members in their mission. If there are no other announcements, let's take a moment together just to breathe as we center our hearts for worship. Let us worship together. Jane?
Please stand for the call to worship. Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Our homeland has come from many places, and our life's journey has brought us on many adventures. Today we are invited into God's house. How will we see it? Everyone will have enough. No one will be at war. People of all cultures and creeds will live in harmony. Today, let us do our small part in beginning to make it so. Join me in the opening prayer. God of connection, you have brought us together from many paths of life. We have different experiences and different stories, but here we are together in a shared story. Help us cultivate even deeper community through our words and actions, that we might truly live out your example of the kind of community you call us to be. Amen. The opening hymn is number 393, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Our scripture today is from Micah 4, verses 1 through 5. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's temple shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall all sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all the peoples walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. And our New Testament reading is from Acts 4, verses 32 through 37. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. There was a Levite from Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He sold a field that belonged to him, then brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Here in the readings for today, may God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. We continue our series called The Media Team Made Me Preach It. And today, Jill Vanderken has put together a presentation on Get Together by the Youngbloods. Let's watch.
Yeah, returns for us at least. come on, people now. Smile on your brother, everybody get together. Try to love one another right now.
Thank you so much, Jill, for putting that together. Let us pray. God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So as a young boy, I was a member of the Appleton Boy Choir, which is one of the Fox Valley's most renowned musical ensembles for young children. I was in the boy choir from second or third grade to about eighth grade, and I learned a great deal about myself, about the world, and about how to read music. It was there that I had some of my most foundational musical training. I also got to go on tour with the choir to China when it was the spring before the 2008 Beijing Winter Olympic Games, and so we actually saw some of the arenas being constructed. So that was kind of cool. And it was also in that choir that I met my friend Andrew, who, as some of you know, remains one of my very best friends today, and he'll be the best man at my wedding. But I didn't always feel like I fit in with the other boys socially. Most of them played sports outside of the choir, or if they didn't play sports themselves, they were very engaged in the sports world. They talked about football, they talked about baseball, they talked about basketball, and I didn't care about any of that. And I didn't pay attention much either. So in other social circles, like school and other places, my lack of sports knowledge would have totally marginalized me from the group, because I don't know how much you all know about elementary and middle school boys. They're kind of airheads. They care a lot about sports and not very much about a whole lot of other things. And having a disability didn't help either, but I usually didn't feel like anybody treated me differently in the choir because of that. I just didn't have the same interests as some of the rest of the boys. Although I did make a lot of great friends. When I was in the choir, the boys who came to us from all over the Fox Valley and the greater area, so I didn't go to school with most of them and therefore didn't have the baggage of whether I played sports in school or not. But whatever our backgrounds were, whatever schools or communities we came from, we all came together for one reason, because we loved singing, and we enjoyed all the opportunities that singing afforded us. If you've never sung in a choir, it's hard to explain the kind of synergy and collaboration that you experience when you sing together, but I'll try a little bit. I'll give you some examples. You have to listen to each other intentionally. You have to blend your vocal tone with the vocal tone of another person so that you sound more like one voice instead of two separate voices. You have to synchronize your beginning and ending consonants, your P's and your B's and your T's and your S's, so that everything sounds cohesive. And sometimes you even have to synchronize your breathing. There's a real intimacy and trust that you cultivate when you're in a choir together. That was a place I felt like I belonged when I was trying to find my place in the world as a preteen and early teenager. Our two texts from today talk about belonging in their own way. The song that we just heard from the Youngbloods also plays with that idea of community, saying, everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Because in our society, it can often feel harder to love each other than to put people in boxes, right? It can often feel like we are more different from one another than we are similar. Our political and theological and ideological beliefs can get in the way of helping us understand each other as neighbors, especially in a town like Waupun, where there are so many different expressions of what it means to be a Christian. But today, I'm going to talk about how these texts call us deeper than some sort of surface-level kumbaya. But instead, they can give us a clue about how God might be calling us to be in deeper, more intentional community together. In our text from the book of Micah, one of the minor prophets of the Old Testament, the prophet proclaims that at some point, all sorts of people from all sorts of places will come together to one place, God's house on the holy mountain. Micah speaks and prays for a day when all nations will come and learn God's ways of love and justice, so that all people can be in comprehensive well-being with one another. In the time of the biblical text, this was only a dream, because in the previous chapter of Micah, chapter 3, he speaks to the leadership of Israel in pretty blunt terms, saying, "Hear this, you rulers of the house of Jacob and the chiefs of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who build Zion with blood and Jerusalem with wrong. Its rulers give judgment for a bribe. Its priests teach for a price. Its prophets give oracles for money. Now I'm willing to bet that most of us, if not all of us, have experienced church communities like that, who profess their faith and yet are hypocritical in acting it out. I'm mindful of all the different communities that have been marginalized for things they can't control. Those who felt that they don't fit in our small rural area. And those whose churches have demeaned them. But Micah says over and over that these are not the ways of God. As a prophet, one of his major roles was to help communities ministered to understand that God longed for people to experience God's liberating love. When the young bloods sing about words like smile on your brother, it's not just a nice idea. It's the very kind of behavior that God wants from us. Now, despite Micah's anger at the current state of things in chapter 3, just one chapter later, chapter 4, which is where our text comes from today, the tone shifts entirely. He believes that one day, at some point, nations will set aside their differences and come together to be in God's house, where love and justice reign supreme. And that's exactly the kind of picture we get from the book of Acts. The Women's Bible Commentary reminds us that Luke, who probably wrote Acts, is making the striking controversial claim that the early Christian movement was, in effect, the true covenant community that God always intended to set up. In other words, this is the moment that God had always desired to happen. The apostles here are giving powerful testimonies of what Jesus has done in their lives and how he has changed their faith. It's also important to mention that no one claims ownership of any material goods, but instead, everything belongs to everyone. Now, I'm not saying that we should all go to that extreme. I think that that kind of communal living is something that made sense in biblical times, but may not make so much sense now. But I'm focusing here more on the unity of our hearts and souls. I don't think that having unity in our faith needs to be as exacting as society makes us believe. Jesus' disciples certainly didn't agree with one another on everything either. But many of our Protestant denominations would have us believe that if you don't believe all the right things and if you don't subscribe to a certain agenda, you're going to hell. And however well-intentioned some of this stuff is, it's functioned as a scare tactic for a lot of people. I often say that some people use their belief in God as fire insurance. That's never been the life that God or Christ wanted for us. In spite of all the ways that we are different people, different in our political stances, our ideologies around social issues, and so on, every Sunday we come here together for one twofold purpose: to learn more about God and what God calls us to do, and to lean on one another as the community of faith. We know that in this church and in this town, we are a big tent. This church consists of a lot of people across the spectrum. Liberal and conservative, Republican and Democrat, and somewhere in between, and rich and poor, and so on. This is the one place where we are all together from our different lives, taking care of each other and being involved in each other's lives, and praying for each other as challenges come our way. The way I think about it, it's not unlike singing in a choir, where we come together because we enjoy what we do, and because all our voices create something different than any one voice could create by itself. Whether it's singing in a choir or living out our faith, it sounds harder than it actually is once you've practiced it enough. It may not be as hard as it looks. So this week, I invite you to think about how you might play a part in making this community better. How can your gifts help this community thrive? We have plenty of committee openings that we would love to talk with you about. We have plenty of opportunities to grow in our faith through service to others in our community. And as Laura talked about today, we have a great organization to support in Beautiful Response, which can in turn help support others in communities around the world. May you know that it doesn't have to be as hard to be in one heart and soul as we like to think. May you know that there are ways you can make the whole community better through your own particular gifts and backgrounds. And may you know that all of this is exactly what God had in mind from the very beginning. Thanks be to God. Amen. We now enter into a time of silent prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. And after that silent prayer, we will pray together. Amen. I have a number of prayer requests this morning. Since everybody keeps asking, I'm just going to tell you that Daisy, our new puppy, is doing really well. She's a bit of a handful, but she's a lot of fun, and she is enjoying getting to know other people and other dogs and other animals and things. So at some point, once she's potty trained, I imagine I'll bring her to church, and I might be bringing her on pastoral visits and things like that, so you can all meet Daisy. So for Daisy's continued growth and her excitement at the world, God in your mercy. And then we also pray for the family of Connie White as they adjust to life without Connie's earthly presence. God, on your mercy. We continue to pray for Roger Blaze and Harriet Laird, who are both on hospice. God, on your mercy. And also for anybody who's in care at care facilities, I think we're just down to Barb now. Barb would certainly enjoy your visits. Just call first. God, on your mercy. Are there others?
I have one. I like to pray for the people of Ashland. My dad's family, most of his cousins are from Ashland, and they had some bad storms roll through there a couple of days ago. So just prayers for them. There was a gas station with the roof that blew off. So just prayers for everybody of Ashland.
Indeed. For the community of Ashland, God in your mercy. Janet's got one. You want to come over?
Prayers for the people affected by the smoke. I know it's very difficult.
Yes, indeed. For all of those affected by smoke, people like me who have really bad allergies, for other people who have it worse, God on your mercy. Anything else today? I'm not seeing. Oh, we got one over here. I saw a hand, I swear. Sorry, Alana. Anything on Zoom? Nope, okay. Anybody else that I missed? Okay. It's like, I always say that prayer time is like playing whack-a-mole because I always have to look around. Okay, let's pray. God, in your grace and love, you remind us over and over again that we need each other. You remind us over and over again what it looks like to smile on our siblings, to care for one another, to be of one heart and soul. Not in the surface level kumbaya sort of way, but in the actual meaningful way of working together to live out our faith, in praying together for each other, in caring for each other when we are in need. And it's in that spirit that we pray for the people of Ashland, for the people affected by smoke, for people in our community who are on hospice or in care facilities, for the people who are grieving, for the people who may not have enough food to put on the table or a safe place to lay their head, even in our own communities. We pray that you might use us, O God, to make situations better for people in need. We ask that you would be we ask that you would help us be your hands and feet in the world. that we might work together so that everyone may live in harmony and everyone may have what they need. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our brother and friend, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. But thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. Whether you'd like to give to our special offering, the beautiful response, or to our general fund, ushers will be coming around, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you know that that your gift benefits not only this local church, but also the church universal. May our gifts today be our own beautiful response to the love and grace that God has showed us. And let's watch this video.
My name is Caleb, and this is my wife, Sonia, and we are here representing Beautiful Response to say thank you for supporting Beautiful Response for so many years.
Yeah, Beautiful Response began 14 years ago. Caleb and I were studying abroad. We were in college and living in Uganda when we met two remarkable young men, Patrick and William, who, compelled by their own individual stories, living on the streets of Kampala, and their love for Jesus, were caring for 43 vulnerable young people. Caleb and I were in our early 20s at the time, spent a couple weeks living with them, teaching the kids English and hearing their stories. When we left Kampala, we had the strong impression that Patrick and William were doing really amazing work, and they understood the needs of their community and the people that they were serving far better than we or other foreigners might. And yet we knew that we weren't absolved from caring for what God was up to. And we came back with, honestly, a bit of a naive vision to partner with Patrick and William to connect what they were doing and their hearts and service with the resources that we had access to as Americans. We came back to Carmel, and in the living room of my parents, Eric and Lori Davidson, we invited a handful of people from Carmel Press and others around the peninsula. We wanted to share the story of what Patrick and William were up to and had the hope of sending some of the older kids to school so that maybe one day they would learn English and be able to provide for themselves. That evening, with the hope of sending five or six kids to school, we had enough money to send all 43. And it launched us into a 14-year-long journey where we have seen God's provision in really incredible ways. And so the organization has grown, and we've continued to partner with Raising Up Hope for Uganda, which is an organization in Uganda who cares for and loves and shares the love of Jesus with now hundreds of children and students. And we are so grateful for the partnership and support from Carmel Presbyterian Church and the many hundreds of donors and partners over the years since.
When things have been challenging, or we're going through a particularly difficult season, there are really three places that come to mind where I pull inspiration from. The first is always our trips back to Uganda. We try and get back to Uganda at least once a year. We have three kids now and full-time jobs, so it's often difficult, but we try to get back once a year. And those trips are so important because it's incredibly moving to be with the kids, to see the impact of the work that we're doing, obviously, but also to be reminded of how hard the staff in Uganda are working. And when I see the teachers at those schools get into school at 6 a.m., staying there till 6 p.m. on a salary of you know, $90 a month, it makes it a lot easier for me to go back home and say, no, you know what, I can send a few emails, I can reach out, I can make some phone calls, I can keep working on their behalf, because they're working incredibly hard on the ground in Uganda. So seeing their work is incredibly inspiring, and remembering that. The second place is scripture. I'm a pastor full-time, so I've spent a lot of my time in the Bible, and it's just amazing how often our work with the most vulnerable people in Uganda just comes to mind as I'm reading through Psalms, or we're going through the book of Luke right now, and how often the theme of just the lowly being lifted up, the humble being exalted, the valley being raised. And that's the work that we get to be a part of through Beautiful Response. It's like, it's so central to God's heart, to the kingdom of God. And so reading scripture is just a constant reminder of, yep, stay in this work, keep partnering with God and what he's doing in Uganda. And then the third place of inspiration is often sort of the outside supporter. The you know, we're trying to figure out how are we going to make budget, and we're reaching out to people, and someone steps up and says that they've been really moved by a recent story, or the farm project that we're working on really resonates with what they're doing, and they step up and they partner with us. Because, you know, we stepped out in the beginning, but it's been so many people along the way that have sort of carried us, that have carried Beautiful Response, that have carried this vision. God has provided through so many different people. So when someone comes alongside of us and says, you know, I want to partner with you guys, I want to give monthly, this excites me. That is always so encouraging for us, and helps us keep going in this work. And we've also seen incredible growth, the staff and leadership of Uganda, and then really watching the kids of that we've walked with now for 14 years, watching them kind of grow into their faith and maturity has been incredible. On my last trip, I got to sit down with a young man named Herman, who we've known since the very beginning he was there, and he's had an incredible journey with a lot of difficulty and obstacles, and he grew up in one of the poorest parts of Kampala and was really taken out of the slum and given a chance at an education, and he's so bright, and he's applied his mind in some incredible ways. And on the last time I was there, I got to sit down and talk with him, and he told me about how once or twice a month he makes a trip back from his family, with his, he has a wife and a daughter, and he makes a trip back to the slums to spend time with the kids there, because he says, you know, I can look those kids in the eyes and say, I know exactly what you're going through, and I know you can come out of it. And we can't say that, like, we can't do that, but Herman was there. He came out of it, so he can go back and say that. So to watch kids like Herman, and there are others too, that return to those roots and are able to just bear witness to what God has done for them, it's incredibly powerful, and one of the most rewarding parts of this work.
We are so grateful for your partnership over the years. Many of you believed and trusted in Caleb and I, frankly, when we were maybe too young to start this work and we didn't know what we were getting into. But God has been faithful. You have been faithful to what God's been up to. And how fun to be part of a journey that has surprised all of us along the way. And so we look forward to the next 14 years of partnership. And thank you.
For you to do so, and Sue, you don't have to run, it's okay. And join us in our doxology. Join me in the prayer of dedication. Loving God, we give these gifts today with grateful hearts, because you have blessed us in many ways. Help us be a blessing to one another. Help us share that what we have so our friends and neighbors have what they need to thrive. Amen. Our closing hymn is one of my favorite hymn texts, number 581, called As Partners in Christ's Service. My friends, receive these words of benediction. May you go from this place knowing that you are loved beyond measure, and that God loves everyone else too. May you go from this place remembering you are loved and that you can be a blessing to others. May your work for God's love and justice make things easier for somebody else, bear each other's burdens, and work together for God's way of love and justice to come. Now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen. Thank you.